Blog Talk Radio. Good evening to everyone. Welcome to Alternative Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from Los Angeles. My name is Susie, and along with me is my co-host, Tim.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our show, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, and if this is your first time joining us, Alternative Talk Radio is a weekly broadcast, and it's dedicated to all things mind, body, and spirit, as well as controversial current events and things that we'll be bringing guests on to speak on. And Tim and I will be guiding you through this next hour with our special guest, Lori Johnson. And Lori is internationally known for her work as an extremely gifted, sensitive, and spiritual counselor. And she's also extremely well known for her teachings about tapping into the planetary energy shifts that we're experiencing as we move into 2012 and what it all means to us. And she'll be explaining how our past lives and our karmic journey tie into what's happening now and what is to come. And Lori will be taking your calls to answer your questions on the topic as well. So with that, let's bring on Lori. Hello, Lori, and welcome to Alternative Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us.
For having me. It is a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. And just to remind our listeners, we have a call-in number at area code 818-337-0013. That's 818-337-0013. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you.
Yes. So tonight we're going to be speaking on...
On December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar comes to an end, and a lot of people are thinking it is the end of the world.
Yes, yes. Everybody is very concerned about what disasters may happen and what this all means.
Well, we have a lot of very physical, I don't know if they're realities, but at least predictions of how the world is going to, as if, end in December 21st, 2012. First off, there is destruction through natural disaster that is part of the prediction, because if you're talking about end, as in end of the Mayan calendar, people think that means the end of the world. So predictions include devastating earthquakes and tsunamis, volcanic eruptions, superstorms, drought, plague, asteroids, and it's a lot of stuff to be afraid of. And because we've already been experiencing some of this stuff, the fear is growing. But it really isn't as fearful a time as people are thinking, because an end also means a beginning. When we're talking about the physical things that are expected, there are physical reasons for them, as in we're talking about the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the volcanic eruptions. So let's talk about that for just a second. In 2012, we have got a congruence of things that are going to happen. We have got extreme orbit, extreme rotation, and extreme axis tilt of the planet. And that doesn't usually all happen at the same time, but when it does, it causes extreme stress on the surface of the planet, which can cause earthquakes, which can cause tsunamis, and that can also deal with having the plate shift and causing volcanic eruptions.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. With that, we also get the shaking and the spewing effect from volcanic eruptions or from earthquakes. We get microbes that are shot into the air that haven't been on the surface of the planet for a really long time, at least sometimes since humanity has been here. And that brings in a lot of disease because we don't have a natural immunity to that. And no matter what kind of antibiotics is thrown here, we're not going to get any kind of relief from that. That's where you get the, mutated germs that then become the super flu or a new version of a flu. It doesn't have to be like Ebola. It can just be something that is a virus that people are not aware that they're going to get because it feels like a cold. It's a regular cold. They don't take care of it aggressively, and it can really wipe them out, put them down for 3 months at a time. They don't recover from that as quickly. That's because the microbes are coming in from underneath the planet. Also, 2012 brings in the theory is the solar maximus, which is 30 to 50% more solar activity than we have seen since 1958.
such as sunspots and...
Sunspots, solar flares. Mm. And with that, in 1958, it was so strong that people in Mexico could see the aurora borealis.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, lots of fun. But with that also, because now we are going to be doing 30 to 50% more than we did in 1958, and we are now so reliant on electronics that we're talking about a lot of things, cell phone use, anything that is attributed to electronics is pretty much going to have a really bad day,
mm-hmm.
and very possibly off and on throughout the entire year, which means that cell phone usage really will not be there. If you do not have everything in your computer and your cell phone saved in hard copy, you're probably going to have some problems here. And be warned that your teenagers will not be happy, because that means they are not going to be able to text or tweet.
Gee, I wonder if that even takes into consideration the cars that are run on computers now.
Cars run on computers, scarier things, controls for missile silos, controls for nuclear bombs, all on electronics. We'll say, though, that already know that NASA and the government is taking consideration with what's going on, that when they are charting this, and if you want to go to spaceweather.com, and there will be a lot of information about when we're getting solar storms coming our way, and you can chart when you need to protect things. And the government is getting ready to protect the satellites and anything that will affect as if national security or actually world security, because it's no longer about just our nation. It is about the entire world. So anyway, when you get the solar maximus, though, that brings in severe weather changes. So we're talking the superstorms, as in some of the things that we've already been experiencing. I mean, the intense weather that we've been having in this country, the intense hurricanes or intense tornadoes, mm-hmm. that's all related, and we haven't even gotten into the big part of it next year. So the stuff that they're afraid of, that people are afraid of and they're talking about, that's stuff that there are physical realities for that. When you're talking also then about asteroids, because that's a big thing, not just because of the movies, but, you know, everybody is now concerned about asteroids, and that is a physical concern because we, in our solar system, is moving into a more densely populated area of the universe. So we will be in an area that has a lot more debris, a lot more asteroids that we can run into. I don't think we're going to, because with all the things that we're talking about here with the physical disasters that are possible, I feel that this is based more on fear than it is on what is going to happen. People are kind of missing the fact that with the Mayan calendar ending, it isn't about physical destruction. It is about the end of a way of thinking, the end of a spiritual reality, and the beginning of another. Really important that we are aware that it is the beginning of something, because too much fear can cause you to think only of an end, because every time there's an end, again, there is a beginning.
Yes, I see. So when we have these physical changes that happen, that is part of the spiritual growth, preparing ourselves for the next shift?
Yes and no. Yes, these physical changes can happen. They are predicted. But we have to be aware of one specific thing. We've got four major events that are coming to an end, or four major cycles that are coming to an end on December 21st, 2012. The first one is a 2,000-year change from the Piscean Age into the Aquarian Age. And then we have the 5,126-year change of the fourth day of mankind, or the fourth sun, according to the Mayan calendar. And then when you put four of these days or suns together, it's 25,630 years worth of what is called the precession of the equinoxes, which is four of these days, four of these suns put together, and the fifth one then starts a new cycle. Then we have one more change, which is 125 million year galactic cycle that is coming to an end and another beginning. So with all those things going on, we're talking about a huge change. And people, because the last 2,000 years has been very much about left hemisphere dominant, logical lines and squares, thought process without connection to spirit, that 2,000 years worth of learning, discipline through power over, discipline through fear.
Mm-hmm.
If I scare the crap out of you, you'll learn something faster than if I just expect you to learn it on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming out of that, but that means that everything that is written, everything that is predicted, has to come with the idea that that mindset has been very prominent of fear. Fear has been great for the last 2,000 years. We are still dealing with that kind of transformation. So anything that we have that's actually a physical change, like we've had already earthquakes, we've had tsunamis, we have had volcanic eruptions, we've also had disease and the storms. These are things that it's not going to just come and hit us all of a sudden. We've been leading up to it. So physical changes, yes, but the biggest thing going on here is a spiritual awakening, and sometimes the physical changes can cause that.
Right.
But the spiritual awakening is happening whether we have another physical
mm-hmm.
change or not.
Mm-hmm. I see. Tim, you had a question about that. Yes. We've got the difference between the physical and the energy shifts that we expect during this time of transition.
Okay.
Is that going to be an eventual thing, or are there going to be dramatic things happening in the next year?
Oh, there are already dramatic things happening. We have been moving toward this spiritual shift. We started to feel it. It is so powerful. We have been feeling this since 1938. It's been real slow in coming. It started to get more accelerated in 1987 when we started the harmonic convergence. So we had a 20-year span of harmonic convergence where things started to click pretty quickly. We had to learn lessons. We had to get into a higher spiritual awareness in a much faster way than we ever did before. And now we're in a couple of years following that, and so it has accelerated. And this year it is literally like going like a locomotive. It is not going to stop, and it's not even going to slow down for anybody. You just have to get on the train and run.
I see. Can we take a quick call? We have the phone lines building up, and I know everybody's anxious. I hate to stop your flow because you've got so much information, but if that's all right with you, we'll just grab the first caller and 510-395 area code.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I want to know what these three...
Can I ask you to speak up just a little bit, please?
Yes, I want to know what do you see for me as far as prediction?
I'm sorry, hon. You're going to have to speak up a little more.
Yes, I want to know what do you see for me as far as prediction?
I'm sorry, I'm having... why don't you try...
Predictions, she's saying, for her, as far as predictions for her.
For her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tonight's show is going to be about the 2012 and how our past lives tie in general. And Lori, as well, gives incredible readings, which will be on another show. But this evening we're going to be speaking on those issues. Did you have any questions on the shift that's going to be happening and how it can tie in with your past lives, maybe what you've been through, and Lori can enlighten you in general on why people go through those things. And
yeah.
Okay. What is your question, ma'am?
Basically, why I'm going through, what I'm going through, part of the relationship patterns and financial patterns.
Oh, okay. You know, I'll tell you what. I keep listening to our show. We're going to have Lori back, and she'll be able to address your questions more on a reading basis. Tonight we're speaking on the other topic. So I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment, and please enjoy listening to the show while we bring up some really interesting and important information what's to come. And please come back, and we'll have Lori do another show on the readings. Thank you so much for calling. And let's take one more call. And so sorry, Lori. Let's just do this really quick. Hello, welcome to the show. Do we have someone there?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Welcome to the show. Did you have a question for Lori on the 2012 issue and what might be coming about?
Yes. I was just going through the description, and I wasn't sure if she was able to tap in. But I was curious about my role in my past life and what it might have to do with 2012, because I have no idea.
Okay, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about is general. The transformational energy that you might be experiencing is something that I will be explaining, but it's not something that I'm going to do specifically for an individual right now. That's more with specifically tapping into your energy for a psychic reading, and I'm trying to cover more the general stuff. So if you keep listening, what I will be talking about is how the spiritual energy hits everybody and what their as-if job is in order to get this. I'm sorry, I won't be doing like the personal reading right now.
Oh, maybe what we can do, since there's so many. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it, and do check back. Thank you so much. I think, Lori, maybe because there are so many people who are really concerned about the now and about what they're going through, and I know you were going to speak on that a little bit later, but maybe there's a reason why we're getting these calls right now to start talking about it, as far as why we go through these painful relationships and so forth, and what it has to do with the big picture.
Okay.
Hey, Susie, perhaps these people can also contact Lori at lauritheoracle@gmail.com. That's lauritheoracle@gmail.com. And Lori would be happy to talk to you about specifics for yourselves.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, great, Lori. So, yeah, you were saying about the relationships and challenges we go through now and what we do to prepare ourselves for the next shift coming.
Okay, this shift is an awareness shift, if you want to look at it that way. Not necessarily spiritual awareness, it is self-awareness. I believe that everybody has chosen to be here at this time. That may not be an easy concept to grasp if things are really negative or difficult and the challenges just keep coming and you never get a break, but that's kind of what everybody agreed to when they came in. That doesn't necessarily mean that when you agree to come into a time that you are here to have a great time, that everything is supposed to be wonderful for you. It's like you take a medical test. You know you're going to go in, you know there's going to be pain, there's going to be discomfort, but you do it anyway to accomplish a goal. That's what we are here for. This is an amazing time to do a lot of amazing work. It's a great time to clear up a lot of karma. I have a lot of people that come to me in my sessions as a reader who are wondering why they have had multiple relationships over the last 20-some-odd years, and they can't have one that works, and they look at themselves and see themselves as a failure. But what it comes down to is, in these last 20-some-odd years, we've been working on cleaning up as much karma as we possibly can in a really short period of time.
Mm.
So you talk about having 5 relationships in normal time, not this accelerated time coming up to spiritual change in 2012, but in normal time, you could take one of those relationships and spend an entire lifetime working on it. But because we are an accelerated, it is get as much work done as you possibly can in a really short period of time, you can have 5 relationships that are seeming as if the love of your life every single time, and then it doesn't work out.
Right.
And you blame yourself and think, well, I don't know how to do this. But the point is, you do know how to do it. What you have done is chosen to have a relationship with somebody to clean up some karma, to see if you can finish a cycle with that individual so that you can then move on. So a lot of the things that you're encountering that may seem like it's very, very difficult and you're never going to get over something, one of the big lessons that we've got in this year specifically is the self-judgment. We've spent, okay, let's get back to the 20 years of harmonic convergence, 1987 to 2007, 20 years to get as much karma cleaned up as you possibly can. That means you're going to have a lot of challenges, things that are getting in the way, and it isn't what's happening, it's how you're dealing with it. If you moan and complain, and it's not supposed to happen to me, and you're standing in ego and fear, kind of missing the point here. Every single thing that is happening is a lesson. It is to give you the opportunity to get over things, to learn things, to get rid of things. Okay, so it's as if literally you're moving boulders away from yourself in these last 20 years, things that would get in your way. You recognize them, you get them out of the way. Now, we started another cycle in November of 2008. It's a 16-year cycle of transformation. And this is the last time this was in effect. We had the American Revolution. The people born during that time then had the French Revolution. So in 2008, we started a 16-year cycle of nothing but revolution, spiritual, government, medical, every single thing on the planet, the concept of how we are is now going to change. First 2 years of that, from 2008 November until 2010 November, was about your own personal spiritual growth. Get yourself ready. The 20 years that we've had, cleared up karma, now focus on yourself. Okay? So we finished that last year in November. We're coming into this year, and this year is now everything that has been moved out of your way, you are now refining. It's like the boulders have been moved, and you have a little pebble of, okay, you don't think highly of yourself when you have done amazing work. That little pebble is going to come at you like a nuclear bomb, because even that little bitty thing, that one last part of a lesson for yourself, it is now important to get it. We have huge energy. Everybody is responsible for what they bring to the planet. And if they bring to the planet negativity, they stand in negativity, they stand in fear, this stops the growth of everything else. And basically what it's going to do is turn against that individual, because this is a much bigger change than somebody not liking that they don't have work, not liking that their relationship didn't work.
So watch the negative thinking, huh?
Really watch the negative thinking. We had an energy shift. Okay, let me go back and do my energy shift conversation real quick. The Earth is a living being. This is something when everything that you read about 2012, not exactly taking into consideration. It's as if we are changing. This is going to happen to us. The Earth herself is a living being. We are in a symbiotic relationship, humankind, with the Earth. We both need to be here. She moves, changes, becomes a more aware individual herself. We match her energy. We change as humankind, as in when the Renaissance period came, we had a great awakening of things within human consciousness. The Earth then raised her vibration to match us. Now is the time when she is as if giving birth to a new version of herself. That birth is December 21st, 2012. She is as if in labor now, so that means everything that she is doing is moving forward, is getting ready for this birth. And if you've ever been around anybody who's been in labor or you've had labor yourself, nothing else matters but that event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought. I have so many things I want to talk about here.
Okay.
So we're talking here. The Earth shifts her vibration to a higher level. We have to match that.
And if we don't?
And if we don't, then there's kind of a downward spiral. A lot of things that happen, you will get opportunities to face this, opportunities to get out of your own way. If you don't, then usually disease comes in or mental illness. And I'm not saying that every single thing that deals with disease or mental illness is caused by not choosing to move forward, because there are a lot of people who have chosen karmically to come back and take on disease, very specifically cancer, heart problems, or diabetes, that are choosing to do that to heal the energy of those that they love. They take on the energy of others. But there are also, I would say, about 80% of the people on the planet that are in that spiral that is going downward, and they want, gimme, gimme, gimme. And if they can't have it, they're going to take it out on everybody else. So, okay, energy shift. Beginning of the year, in this year, in 2011, we had an energy shift in January. This was the Earth shifting to a higher level that was so strong, it's as if people were divided by the Grand Canyon. 80% on one side, 20% on the other. The 80%, unfortunately, are the ones that do not want to get what any of this stuff is about. They don't want to get a spiritual reality. They want everything to be the way it always has been, with them in control. 20% looking at, okay, we got an opportunity. This isn't negative. This is a challenge. If we take this as a challenge, we learn something. We move forward. Even if people do not know exactly why all of this stuff is going on, you still get that opportunity to be able to move forward. Right now, the 80% in control just by sheer numbers. When we had the shift at the beginning of the year, a couple of things happened. We became physically less dense. As in, we are heading toward, it is believed, at the end of the next 2,000 years, we will be very physically less dense, and we will all be communicating not with phones, but just psychically. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Really cool. But a lot of people don't like that. With this energy, we also have an awakening of, or I would say, getting out of the way of blocks that stop you from knowing your own intuition or being psychic, without going all too woo-woo on you. But with that, it means that you are now responsible for whatever thought, whatever emotion that you put out is now 200% more manifest.
So it's kind of like law of attraction magnified.
Yes, very much so.
I see.
And if you stand in a lot of negativity, you're putting out a lot of negativity.
Right.
And most of the people in that 80%, it is so hard for them. And I get really animalistic on this. It's like, do the work. You know, don't get in my way, just do the work. That's very cruel, because it is not easy for people. It is not easy for them to have to do this work when they don't understand what it is, because all they see are obstacles.
Right.
And then with the obstacles, they also judge themselves as if they can't handle it. So they're beating themselves up, and the world is beating them up.
And they have to deal with their own fear at the same time.
Fear is huge, yeah. Last 2,000 years, Piscean age, real quick. I know I'm skipping around, but this is really important on concept on why we think 2012 is destruction. Last 2,000 years of the Piscean age, was the time of the male energy finding its own power. In this instance, it's as if power over. Power through discipline, power controlled by fear. And, yeah, we got a lot of organized religion that came into that because it was, we needed to get as if in a box. We needed to learn certain lessons. But as everything happens when you have a pendulum swing, it goes to extremes before it comes back to balance.
Mm.
So we spent 2,000 years, and I can't be angry at all the men because every single person on the planet now who is a woman has reincarnated as a man multiple times, so we are all responsible for where we are right now. But this has been the lesson of the male energy finding its power, and the power as in the authority male, the leader, the dad. Okay, so this is the male energy. The really great aspect of that you can perceive as most of the presidents that we've had have exceptions, Kennedy, Clinton, Obama. But everybody else, we're talking very Piscean thinking, where it is, as in, big example for George W. Bush when 9/11 happened, he basically said, don't worry about anything, I'll take care of it. That is the Piscean concept of man with power over, through fear, through intimidation, through discipline, that I know what's going on, you don't have to worry about anything.
I see.
And that doesn't really go where we are right now, but that lesson was there for us to be able to tell that we don't want to have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, skipping around. So the 2,000 years of this Piscean age coming to an end, we're talking about everything that was written, everything that was conceived during that time is going to come with the flavor of it being a power over, of it being about fear. I control you through fear. So when we're talking about 2012, when we're talking about any of these changes that are going on, the first thing is, what are we most afraid of? Let's capitalize on that. And not on a conscious level. People aren't going around thinking, yes, I want to make people afraid, and let's talk about 2012, is it the end of the world? We've been doing this for 2,000 years. You don't come into an Aquarian energy after 2,000 years of a specific mindset and get it right the first time. This is the first life right now, this generation, that is not thinking necessarily with that Piscean concept, which is where we get kids that are indigo children, or they're called star children, or kids with ADD or ADHD. They're already thinking in an Aquarian way.
Mm-hmm.
So Piscean, male concept, left hemisphere, logical lines and squares thought process, you do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarian energy is about communication. It's about balance and harmony. Big, big way to be able to tell the difference. 2,000 years was mankind. We are moving into 2,000 years of humanity.
Mm.
People
like
don't
that.
Even think that mankind is a word. And it encompasses everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a woman. I'm not mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting all nasty about men. I love men. But we're talking about male concept having a really hard time changing into this equality thing. So everything that is put out there by people in power, people in medicine, in the military, in government, is still working on that Piscean mindset that is about the control over. I have to have my life the way I want to, and I'll do it by making sure that you do what I say. And there are levels of that throughout all of history within the last 2,000 years, levels of that in society all over the place.
Right. Oh, that's really interesting. You know, and it reminds me when you say that we're coming into this awakening period. I remember hearing about back in the caveman days when they found actually things that simulated acupuncture needles.
Yeah.
People were able to actually see where blockages were in an energy field.
Yeah.
You would never hear of that in these last generations.
No, last generations, but it's been very important. It's been very important for us to learn. We can look back and blame where we are now on mistakes that were made, but when you're really thinking about it, everything is about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
We are not missing a thing. We can talk about we're destroying the planet, and yes, we are, okay, but the planet herself is a living being, will only let us go so far. Because technically, if she wanted us off, she could shake her shoulders twice and we'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
We have a symbiotic relationship with her, and one of the few times that I was able to connect with her consciousness, what I got was an answer to my question was, would it be better for her if we weren't here? And her answer was, she would be very lonely.
Mm.
We all need, we grow at the same time. She grows, we grow.
So I have a question for you.
Yep.
It's about what the significance of the date for December 21st, 2012 is about. Now, a lot of people are saying it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Now, what I heard about was that the people that have claimed that they knew when the end of the world was going to be over the last 2,000 years had one thing in common. They were all wrong.
Okay.
So
there have been predictions of the end of the world as long as human beings have been on the planet. Before the last 2,000 years, we're talking about anything that was an eclipse or any kind of unusual event, a solar event or a planetary event or weather event, and people were thinking end of the world. Last 2,000 years, we got into organized religion. In the last 2,000 years, there have been at least 48 major predictions of the end of the world. In the last 2,000 years, every single one of those predictions has been a translation of one prophet from the Bible. So we're not talking about solar events now. We're talking about the Word, okay, and people translating it. And I hate to say this because prophets are amazing. I have nothing against, or I'm not saying anything against here, but we're talking prophets sometimes either standing in ego and not even being aware of it. So we're talking, as in this most recent prediction, I'm not saying he didn't know what he was talking about, but he's going from one book, a holy book, yes, but it doesn't cover the entire planet. If you don't cover every single human being and every single human being doesn't participate in something, it doesn't have as much effect. So we're talking, everybody's saying this is the end of the world. The difference between the predictions over the last 2,000 years based on the Bible and the predictions of what we've got coming in now is that the Mayan calendar has been accurate for at least 26,000 years. And when they got that straight, then they moved their system and looked backwards, and they did billions of years of charting the stars and the planets. And they did this without modern technology, without telescopes, without knowledge of astronomy or astrology, the way that we know it now. And they were accurate as the atomic clock is now. Now, the big deal is that on December 21st, 2012, this is the winter solstice, it is believed at this point within the Mayan calendar, within the Mayan people, that we will be in an eclipse, the Earth, the Sun, and the center of our galaxy. It is believed within the Mayan culture that the center of the galaxy emits rays of spiritual enlightenment. It emits rays that keep us alive. This is all of life emitted from that. That's where they believe all the stars came from. All of life came from that. When we are in this eclipse, where we are on one side of the sun and the center of the galaxy is on the other, we will be denied being able to be bathed in these rays. And that is when we end 25,630-year cycle, the precession of the equinoxes, and when the eclipse is over, we are now in the new age.
Now, what will people be feeling, experiencing? You say it's gradual, but what
are
those?
Well, it's gradual, but this year we have shot through the roof on having to be in a spiritual reality. A lot of people are just opening up like crazy, and it's getting faster and stronger. A lot of people are also going downhill faster and stronger. So between now and December 21st, 2012, it literally is spiritual growth that is going to shoot through the roof so that when this happens, we are all ready to take responsibility for everybody else on a spiritual level. Right now, you have a lot of people, as I said, the 80%, that are looking at, the world is too hard, I don't like it, so it's difficult, I'm going to send my energy out and let somebody else take care of it. That's really great, except the somebody else who has to take care of it are 20% of people who have any kind of spiritual reality or self-awareness whatsoever, and that's a lot of work when somebody doesn't want to do their own work. Okay, so these people are going to be limited, the 80% are going to be limited to how they affect everything else, because one of the other things that happened at the beginning of this year when we all got physically less dense and we got our psychic on is that what you manifest in positive energy becomes, what you feel becomes manifest. So if you get the 20% absolutely sure of the positive, they will overcome the negativity. And that's,
people who think positive,
yeah,
in other words.
And people who think positive will get more serendipity going on. And it's not, you got to just think positive. It's about accepting what's going on, taking the lessons, becoming a more spiritually aware human being or a more aware human being.
And after we come back from the break, we're going to continue on that interesting subject about being spiritual and what does that mean and what is expected of us in our growth. Very good. Thank you so much, Lori. And we are going to a break now for a few minutes. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and take some more calls. Okay, and we are back. And again, we are here with the very gifted Lori Johnson. There we go. And we're going to continue our talk on spiritual growth and getting prepared for this shift that is going to be happening in 2012 and things that we can work on to prepare ourselves for that.
Right. When you are talking in the physical shifts that could possibly happen, as in earthquakes, as in, I don't think it's asteroid, because when we're talking also about the Earth having a birthday, it just doesn't feel to me that all the work that has been done in human growth and in the growth on the planet, that all of a sudden this is going to be destroyed just at a time when we're reaching a pinnacle of awareness. So my feeling is if we do have any natural disasters, they are going to be things that we are already experiencing, maybe up the ante a little bit, but it's not going to be, you know, devastating earthquakes that take us all out. There's no point in having an awareness if it's got off short because we're all dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. but
well, that's a relief. Yeah. And so when we're talking about our spiritual growth and preparing for it, is it to become more compassionate and do less feeling sorry for ourselves?
Yeah. There are three main questions that I look at that I think are vitally important. If you have the answers to these three questions, you're doing pretty well. The first one is, do you know who you are? And I don't mean your name and your address and what you do for a living. I mean spiritually. Do you have a spiritual center? Are you aware of who you are and the energy that you have within and the energy that you put off?
You know, it's really interesting. Other than going into nature somewhere and spending a week, we're so busy with everything that we're dealing with. If you asked me that, who I am, other than saying I like to feel optimistic and happy and all that, that's a very good question.
Well, most people in the Western world, if you ask them who they are, they will relate to what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Not elsewhere in the world necessarily, but in the Western world, meaning in, you know,
yeah.
Western society, European society, America. Who are you? Oh, I'm a psychic.
I know in Los Angeles that's the first question, other than what car do you drive?
Yeah, and what your sign is, yeah.
Yeah.
The second question is, do you know why you're here? And I don't mean here in Los Angeles. I mean, do you know why you're here on the planet? And a lot of people do not know that. Most people, I would say, don't know that because most people don't even think about it. It's not really an important question because it doesn't get you money, doesn't get you a girlfriend or a boyfriend, it doesn't help you when somebody's dying, but it is vitally important. If you do not know why you're here, how can you possibly know what you're doing?
Now, would you say making a difference in this world is one of the ways?
Yeah, but it's also, there's always, this is where the past life stuff comes in. Everybody, like I said, has chosen to be here at a certain time, at this time. Not just because there's a total amount of challenge that can get you to a new spiritual awareness, that can help you release a lot of karma, but it's huge because if you look at everybody's chosen to be here, then you are given an opportunity to make a huge difference on the planet by, if all you do is be as clear as you possibly can about what your purpose is, and not just I'm here to help, that's kind of general. What your purpose is, what are you learning for yourself? If you make yourself as perfect as you can possibly be, you have already added a positive vibration to the planet and to everybody that's around you. Human beings have this amazing capacity that we vibrate to the most fixed energy near us. An example, if you're standing next to somebody who is really, really, really angry, and I mean angry that they are yelling at whoever is around, which I have done at one time or another, you can feel that energy.
Yeah, it feels lousy.
It feels lousy. Yeah. You start to feel bad. You start to take on that. You can take it with you when you walk away from that person. Right. That person is fixed in anger in that moment. Okay, this is also what happens when you do crystal healing. Crystals don't change their energy. They don't change their vibe. It is the same. So if you have an illness with inside, the crystal goes on that, your body will naturally vibrate to the most fixed energy and heal itself. Okay? So you stand next to somebody who is an enlightened being, a monk, Mother Teresa, a saint, a really good person, you also feel that energy and you become calm. Okay? That's really important. So if you don't know how to do that, how to have that calm, how to know who you are now, you're not looking at the right things because you all came in. We all came in for the reason of finding these answers out. The third question is, do you know where you're going? And again, not down to 405. Do you know where you're going in this lifetime? What is your purpose? Not your purpose in now, if you know who you are, but now, if you know who you are, why you're here, what are you doing to make it better? What are you doing to help everybody else who doesn't know? Now, real important part here that when you're talking about helping others, there are versions of this. You can be compassionate without taking on somebody else's energy. People right now, so stressed, so unhappy, so feel that they're put upon and angry within their own fear and negativity and don't want to do these lessons. It's too hard. They're sending out the energy for somebody else to take care of it. That's not your job. Okay, two little things going on here. We usually have the earth or animals that will ground our energy. Okay, the earth, as I said, in a process of labor and birth. She is not taking on our energy right now. She's been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. It's not her job right now. And herd animals, as in the buffalo, as in the caribou, that take on the energy of masses of people, like the fear from 9/11, the fear from Katrina, they ground that. Big problem. We killed them. How many herd animals do you know? Massive herds that we have. Anymore? We don't. So basically you're talking about energy that would be grounded or taken care of by either the earth or animals, now other human beings have to take care of, which basically means that people who are in their own system of growth, they are learning for themselves now, have to step out of themselves and take on somebody else's energy because that person doesn't want to take it on themselves. Because you look at when you choose to come into the world, it's like you're choosing college courses, okay? We do have energies, spiritual energies that will help us choose pathways every time we come into a new life. And that's like people deciding what classes you're going to take from kindergarten and through 12th grade. Okay, you know you're going to be taking this class, you have to do this, this is prerequisite. We get that, but then you get into college age. So you're talking about before you come into this world, you can choose as if what college you're going to go to, what classes you're going to take, who's going to teach you, who your study buddies are going to be, who you're going to be in a dorm with. But doesn't mean you attend, doesn't mean you pass. It means that when you come in, that's the intention. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, going into that 80% again, you're talking about these people have found out that it's too hard. This is when you have a relationship with somebody and you feel that soul connection and you know that you've either known that person before, if you're thinking in that way, or yeah, this is your soulmate. You've got to have this person. And yet it doesn't work, and that doesn't make any sense. You have this feeling that is so intense.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the person's an idiot or they're self-involved or everything that you knew was going to happen when you met with this person
mm-hmm.
doesn't happen. Basically, it means that before you came in, you both decided that at a certain age you were going to meet and culminate this great love that you've experienced in multiple lifetimes.
And then move on.
And they move on, or they come into this relationship and they're expecting something because one of the people, between being born and meeting the soulmate, says, oh, it's too hard. I'm not going to do this anymore.
So what do you do with people like that? I mean, in my life, it seems like they're peppered all around me and they're
yeah.
pulling, they're nitpicking me into oblivion.
Well, then you look at if you have chosen them to be in your life, you look at why you are allowing them to do that because then that's a lesson for you. That if you call them in and you are consciously aware that you called somebody into you because it's a soulmate energy or somebody that you really need to finish karma with, you can finish karma. You don't have to heal them. You don't have to go to the extreme because this is where you know your balance. How far can you go? I've been in situations where people have wanted to take my energy because they want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be exhausting. And in some cases, you just can't stop it because people are so needy.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, it is also about self-awareness, not selfishness, but self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
If you are aware of self on how far you can go and how far you are allowing your energy to go to somebody else, how far you're allowing it to heal somebody else, you also have to be aware when that is going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And you can only do so far. And unfortunately, where we are right now is that most people on the planet just want somebody to make it better.
Yeah. As opposed to growing.
Because it's too hard for them.
It's too hard. And, you know, I can't blame them because it is. It's difficult. And most people aren't thinking like this.
Yeah.
They're not thinking, oh, yes, I'm learning a lesson, and so this is hard. I'm going to take care of it.
Let's go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not. You don't. It's hard. We haven't been taught this when we were growing up. But that's exactly what's going on. These lessons are very difficult. They're right in our face. But every single thing you need to know about how to grow, about how to know all those answers to those three questions is basically in what is in front of you, except we weren't given the primer on how to translate that.
Right. And we take it on an emotional level. And
yeah.
Basically, what you're saying, I think, Lori, is that people are put in our lives so as stepping stones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And as emotionally bonding as it gets, the reality of it is that they're just here to help us grow.
Yes.
And
everything is a mirror, especially this year. The big lesson for this year that to me became really clear in March of this year was that self-judgment gives you an opportunity to see subtle things within self that you need to be aware of, change, heal, whatever. So if you come into the day and you're thinking, I'm not worth anything, what you're going to get is about 15 to 16 people during the day telling you in some way or another that you're not worth anything. And then you can take it one way and go, oh, I'm feeling so sorry for myself because I'm really not worth anything and nobody recognizes me.
Mm.
But they're showing you that you're thinking that about yourself.
It's a vicious circle and you don't move forward.
Catch 22, yeah.
Yeah.
Step out of it. You can step out of it, but that requires you to click into a different way of thinking. And all of this energy, all this 2012 stuff, all of this stuff is teaching us this. It's not that we haven't been learning this all along, but this is accelerated learning because we got to get into an awareness that when things change for us, we're going to be able to take care of it.
And look at challenges and disasters or whatever
yeah.
may be in a different light that these and just flow with it, basically.
Yes. And I can sit here and say this stuff as if I'm, you know, on a mountain somewhere and going, oh, yes, I'm, you know, saying this to everybody else. But I have every single thing I'm talking about I have proven to myself through my own issues, through things that I have had happen to me that I could take as, oh, poor me, and I didn't. And that is including a lot of death that's around me, a lot of violence that has been around me. And you can look at it like I am a victim as opposed to this was an opportunity for me to see something about myself I didn't know.
Mm. A lot of work, but it's nice to get to that point.
It is. And when you get to that point, even though you might think that, what does that do for me? It doesn't make money. It doesn't get me a new car. I don't have a new phone. I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. What it does is give you peace. If
so,
you have peace, you can do everything else. Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. I have a little different question.
Okay.
Change the direction here just a little. I grew up in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And there was a very strong alternative movement at the time.
Yeah.
Where it felt like we were changing the world. You know,
yes.
the Woodstock Nation, all of these things. It was palpable. You could feel it. What happened?
You did change the world.
Why are we in the middle of a 10-year war and the banks are running the world?
Because you got 80% of the people who don't want to get out of their own way. Okay, no, really, seriously?
How are we going to move that back? I mean, how's that? I mean, I feel it's gone.
Okay, we're talking, again, I'm sorry, but President Bush, and I'm sorry if anybody's Republican and voted for him, because I'm just going to diss him a little bit right now. President Bush, George W., was the great negative lesson, okay? The best lessons that we have ever had as human beings are the negative ones, because if you know you put your hand in the fire, you're not going to do it again, because that hurts. So we had this very Piscean, very lord-over figure that told us not to worry about anything. And so it was amazing that he was elected for another term when everybody was displeased with him in the first place.
Yeah.
But the whole point of it was he gave us the epitome of somebody else thinking for us, somebody else taking responsibility for us. And the only way for us to learn that, we didn't want that anymore, is to have so much of it that we got rid of it. Okay, Aquarian age, not starting really officially until next year, so strong. We were feeling it when it started in 1938, felt it with a huge push power in 1960s. All that stuff was getting a generation, everybody on the planet, into a different consciousness to be able to accept the changes that are coming. If we didn't have that, we would be so screwed now.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So nothing is wasted, nothing, not a single thing that has happened, even if it's negative, even if you're looking back on your life and I should have done this and I should have done that, nothing is wasted. And just as a byline here, should is probably the dirtiest word in the English language, because should is basically an ego statement, an ego that either you developed for yourself or most likely what somebody told you when you were younger. Because between the ages of 1 and 7, we basically get all of our knowledge through observation. So if you're observing what somebody is saying and they're saying it should be like this, it should be like that, you take that on as if your own because you don't know any different. You don't know that you can make a decision. I don't really believe in that. So you take it on, and now you're judging yourself on what somebody told you it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you think should, you start a sentence with should, you tell somebody else that they should, that is a judgment and it's an ego statement. And if you just simply get out of the shoulds, everything is fine, because it's not what is, it's what the ego is saying should be.
I read a book about 15 years ago by a Tibetan monk. It was called Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he was talking about, was how arrogant it is for us to be able to put a value judgment on an experience.
Yeah.
With a should or, you know, the history,
yeah.
Trying to use our history to explain the present.
Because a lot of people don't like to live in pain. They don't like to feel the loneliness.
Yeah. But it's all lessons. I mean, even the negative stuff, even the stuff when he's talking about the arrogance and everything, arrogance is a way, okay, as if on the planet right now, everybody, if you look at development of a child, everybody is still 5 years old. Because when you talk about a five-year-old kid, they are allowed to be selfish because that is how they identify themselves to the world. Okay, it's about me, and who is that guy? What is he to me? What is he making me feel like? What is he talking to me about? It's all about me. But it's a lesson. You don't look at a kid and say, you stupid little kid, why aren't you more spiritually aware? It's a growth process. So you get somebody, we are now in that five-year-old where it has been about me. It has been about arrogance. You can't learn something unless you experience it.
The terminal narcissist.
Yeah, but then there's an end to that, and the ending of self indulgence is never easy, because it's easy to be self-indulgent. Look what happened to the Roman army. They beat everybody in the world. They go home, they get all puffy and soft because they don't have to fight anybody anymore. Somebody comes out and just totally wastes them because now they're soft. We have gotten used to being able to have whatever we want. We are a nation of plenty, and that's wonderful, but we are also a nation of leaders. We are a nation that has had more individuals from different cultures, from different races, from everything that is different, coming together to form one big whole. Everybody can complain about the United States, but this is where a lot of change is going to happen for everybody on the planet, and not because we're the United States, we have more power and we have more missiles, whatever like that, but because so many people are forming one consciousness.
So is this what the New World Order is turning into? I mean, is that what that is?
I don't know. New World Order sounds a little Nazi to me.
It does, huh?
Yeah, but I'm talking New Age, which is consciousness, which if you get, everybody has their own tradition, their own culture, their own ancestry. And then you bring it in, and it's no longer about everybody's got to stay over there because they are of the same belief. Everybody's got to stay over there because they're the same color. There's mixing all over the place because we are all human beings. And we are doing that more here than almost anywhere else in the world. Not saying it's not going elsewhere, but we are doing that here, and we have more power so that we can take that. We can take somebody who is an African-American and make him president, and I'm really proud of that. But, I mean, that wouldn't have happened. And yeah, it does happen a lot in other countries, but we're talking about with the diversity and the hugeness of the population here, that is a spiritual advancement. To be able to look that we are all one, even though we have different color, different cultures, different beliefs, we are all one, and we all work in the same pattern. It's not perfect. We're still working on it, but we're working on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's part of the 2012 stuff.
That makes sense. We're getting closer to becoming one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about the play that animals have?
Animals.
I know that's a favorite subject of yours.
And
how that... Are they put here simply to just calm us and make us feel good, or is there
more? Oh no, there are huge lessons that we learn from animals. If we paid more attention to animals, they are very, 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 very badly used right now, and that is just abysmal. It's like everybody is beating a child when they treat an animal wrong. This is pure energy. It is pure energy to help us learn, and there is a hierarchy of awareness that it is believed within reincarnation that. You get a certain group, as in all the animals, that when they have gone through so many different levels of awareness as an animal, that their next level up is going to be humans. Because some people say, oh, I'm going to reincarnate as a dog next time. You don't go backwards. You only go forwards. Okay, so animals getting that consciousness when you look into a dog's eyes and say the dog is almost human, next level up for that. We go from being physical, from being human beings, into being spiritual beings that then go into angelic beings. We are headed in that direction. We don't just be human forever. You reach perfection. My belief here is that everybody is on the planet. Everybody has taken human form so they can learn every single thing perfectly about being a human. When you've got that down, you no longer need it, you go to another life. When people come to me in my reincarnation class and they say, well, this is my last lifetime, I'm not going to come back anymore. I'm going, well, that's a nice little ego statement.
There goes a should again.
That you're coming back, yeah. Because if you have to say that, I'm not coming back, then basically you're standing in ego because it's hard for you and you don't want to. But those that have no ego, that are egoless, that understand we are all connected, every single individual is part of a larger whole, which is when you want to call it God or creator, whatever. And the key thing here is we all started in the same point. We're reincarnating to learn and learn and learn and learn. When we get perfect, we all go back to the same point. And the great thing is we all make it. We may not all make it in one lifetime, but it is a guarantee that we all make it back to God or creator.
I see. And I wanted to ask you as well, as far as the vibration of the planet, when you talk about matching our vibration with the Earth and our balance within ourselves and it creating disease if we are not.
Yeah, everything vibrates. We couldn't see, hear, feel anything if it didn't have its own vibration. The Earth has a vibration. We have vibrations. We match our vibrations to the Earth. We have to, otherwise we don't belong here. She's going through these shifts, and it's literally, if you're on a really low vibration, this is where you get a lot of the cruelness or the very selfishness. That's a low vibration. The spiritually high vibration, which literally is less dense and more finely tuned, is where individuals go. They start vibrating on a higher level when they are in tune with everything. Okay, the Earth, as this living being going through this transformation, is literally going to a higher level of vibration. We have to match her. If we don't, this is where disease comes in. If you do not belong here, then you're out of balance. Out of balance means it's going to start working on the inside, and this is where a lot of disease does come from. A lot of madness, a lot of suicide is going to come from that. And it isn't that there's blame here, like you should know this, because, you know, you can look at people who have cancer and say, okay, they brought it on themselves. Again, yes, maybe, but also they might have chosen that. I want to make that really clear so it doesn't sound like I'm putting everybody who has cancer in a category that they didn't do their work. Sometimes that is really not the case. But we match our vibration to the planet. She is shifting like crazy right now. You can tell how she's shifting because anybody, it doesn't even matter if you're finely tuned or whatever, that if you're standing still and all of a sudden you get dizzy for a couple of seconds, up to 10, 20 seconds, what you did is you just basically felt an energy shift on the planet. It's not that you have an inner ear infection. It literally is. You can do that. Many times when I'm in session and I'm reading and I feel that, I have to look at things that are hanging to see if we're having an earthquake, because that's what it feels like. But when I tell that to people, they go, oh, yeah, I didn't know that's what it was.
Oh, they feel it, too.
They feel it. Most people have felt this, and you just don't pay attention to it. It's like, oh, you know, a truck ran by. There's no truck. You can feel the vibrational shift, and it is happening a lot. Last couple of years, I felt it like maybe once every couple of weeks, once a month. Now it's several times a day, if not several times in an hour. It's pretty cool.
The actual vibration of the Earth. Isn't it?
It's lovely. Because it's, you know, it's like surfing the energy. It's really nice.
Yeah, and that also goes to, on the subject of, I've known Stephen myself becoming more psychic in certain ways, out of nowhere. This year, without trying, and people I talk to, the same people are becoming more sensitive.
Yeah.
So when people refer to the veil thinning, what is actually happening with?
Well, okay, when we got physically less dense, literally it connected us with energy that already was less dense.
Higher frequencies.
So the frequency of the spiritual energy didn't change. We changed. So we are now more aware. A couple things on that. Be aware that even if you're not feeling this specific, that you're getting more psychic, be aware that you're going to hear things more. Your senses are going to be more aware, because even within the psychic energy, it is connected. When I teach psychic development, the first thing you do is you hone the senses that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of it is you hone them to the best and highest they can possibly be, and it leads you into being aware of things on another dimension, on another level.
Now, when you talk about that, for example, being around people who are tense or being around people who are afraid and so forth, it almost seems like I'm a walking sponge, and it bothers me where it used to not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's another thing. One thing I'm going to say very clearly, if you're feeling a lot of this stuff and you're feeling very enervated by it and very uncomfortable with it, one of the best ways is to do either Tai Chi or Qigong. Because it is a manipulation of energy, not just within, but within out, without. So you do any of these exercises, and it will ground you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but literally, highly recommend, if you're feeling any of that stuff, then you need to put protection around yourself.
Now, does this have to do with this shift that you're talking about?
Yeah, very much.
Okay.
Because if you do not know how to protect yourself, you're talking about people can come by, they can not just take your energy, they can put crap on you. Wake up in the middle of the night, okay? And all of a sudden, you're afraid. You're afraid about money you weren't before you went to sleep. You're afraid about a relationship that you weren't afraid of before you went to sleep. You're not afraid yourself. You're picking up somebody else's energy. It doesn't even have to be somebody that you know. Somebody in the neighborhood, somebody half a continent away is throwing energy out because they have so much fear and they don't know how to deal with it.
No.
So you pick it up, don't know how to deal with it. You wake up in the middle of the night, and just the big solution to that is if you are feeling exceptionally uncomfortable in one area, in fear or anger, frustration, anxiety, whatever, first thing that you do is you ask, is this my fear? Is this my anxiety? Because if it's not yours, it won't stay. But you have to say that exactly. Is this my fear? And say it out loud.
And then what do you do if I hear the music? Are we running out of time here?
Oh, we're just heading for a break, that's all.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit about that, when people feel overwhelmed because of the vibrations changing, and it seems like we're affected by our obstacles more. So we'll do that when we come back. And again, for any questions with Lori, as far as psychic readings and any other questions you may have, you can reach her through her email at lauritheoracle@gmail.com, lauritheoracle@gmail.com. And thank you for listening, and we'll be back to you shortly. Okay, and welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at Alternative Talk Radio. And again, our special guest tonight is Lori Johnson, gifted, sensitive, and spiritual counselor. And tonight we're speaking on the changes coming up in 2010 and how it will affect us. And I said 2010, didn't I? Uh-oh, I'm getting sent backwards. 2012. And the Mayan calendar and how our past lives tie into the shift and changes coming up. And before the break, we were speaking on people, because of these energy shifts and the vibration shifts, that people are getting more affected by negativity and just being overwhelmed by things, and things seem to be magnified. And Lori's going to talk to us about, first of all, what we can do to help get through dealing with this kind of thing.
I would like to do a little bit, this is a meditation, but it's also how to protect yourself psychically. Most people are not aware of their own psychic ability. They just pick things up, or they know somebody's going to call, or they've encountered spiritual energy and they don't know, because in this society, very specifically this society, we are not taught to recognize it. Either we're taught very specifically not to recognize it, as when you're a kid and you see something and your parents say, no, that's, you're just imagining that, you shut it down. We do not develop that within our children. So they have shut down. So when you start feeling something or seeing something, your automatic first response is going to be, no, that doesn't exist. But that doesn't stop the energy from coming at you. You were talking about how you were feeling everything that's going on. You feel overwhelmed sometimes. There's a very basic way of being able to protect yourself. It's what I do every morning before I do readings, because I could take on everybody's energy and then I'd be a big mess.
Sure.
So this is something, if you want to do this meditation, it is something that I do. It is very important, whenever you do a meditation, this usually isn't something that is taught, that you use all your senses. If you are doing something that is just visualizing, you're only using one-fifth of what your capacity is, and therefore you will only have one-fifth of the protection. This is very simple. You are going to create an energy of white light around you. You're going to surround that with a protection that is beyond that, another protection. So usually when I start, and I'm going to walk it through right now, if you want to do this, then I'd like you to close your eyes, and I would like you to take three deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. This is called a cleansing breath. And as you are breathing in through the nose, you are imagining this beautiful light coming into you, and everything that is stress or negativity, worry, tension, is as if a shadow inside your body. And as you breathe out, you let that light dislodge that shadow, and the shadow comes out with your exhale. So three deep cleansing breaths. And then I would like you to imagine, from the center of the universe, there is a beam of white light. This is the most beautiful beam of light you can possibly imagine. It is coming across from the center of the universe that the Mayans talk about, through our solar system, past the outer planets, past the asteroid belt, past Mars, and it comes right down into our atmosphere and right through the roof of where you are, into your crown chakra, into the top of your head, and it fills your entire body with this most perfect, beautiful white light. And as this light fills you, use all your senses. Imagine that if somebody was sitting outside, what you would look like, completely filled with this beautiful white light that makes you glow. And as it moves through your body, be aware of what it sounds like, of what it smells like. As the energy moves across your tongue, be aware what it tastes like. Be aware what it feels like physically. Is it warm? Is it tingly? And also be aware how it makes you feel emotionally. Do you feel content? Do you feel safe? As this energy is being pumped into you through this beam of white light, it fills you to capacity, down to the tips of your toes, the tips of your fingers, down to the tips of your hair. And it is so strong, you cannot contain it anymore. And so so you let it come out with your exhale, you let it come out with your pores, until it forms a sphere around you that is 1 foot beyond where you can reach in each direction. And again, as you feel this light coming out of your body, you are still being fed by it, and you are aware what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it smells like, what it tastes like in the air, and what it feels like. Is it warm out there? Is it crackly out there? And also, what it makes you feel emotionally. As you are aware of this, and do this without worry if you cannot get any of the senses that clearly, the more you do this, the better you become at it. Now, with your awareness of this white light, and that is completely surrounding you and completely in you, you thank the energy of the universe for feeding you, and you let the beam stop. So you are now completely filled with and surrounded with this most perfect, beautiful white light. And then however you wish to imagine it, I would like you to create a shell of electric blue on the outside of this sphere, the brightest, hottest blue you can possibly imagine, the blue at the center of a flame, the blue in a hot summer sky, and on the edges of this, running around the surface of this bubble that you're in, you see little lightning bolts. It is that hot. This is your first level of defense. Anything coming at you, intention, even if it is not directed at you, or even if it is, will bounce off of this. This year specifically, I have added a layer beyond that, about 6 inches beyond this bubble that you have created, this sphere of white light with a shell of electric blue. I would like you to imagine a sphere of steel, a shell of steel that is about 6 inches beyond the blue light. It is rough on the inside and shiny on the outside. And be aware with this very specifically that when you breathe in, you can smell the metal. When you breathe in through your mouth, you can taste the metal. That's very important, but you can imagine it beyond you. This is your line of protection. When you have this clear and you can feel the steel and see it and use all your senses to make it real, then you pull it in and keep pulling it in, is condensing, 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 and getting stronger and stronger and stronger, so that the white light then becomes a shell around you that is about an inch from your body all the way around. It is completely surrounded with the blue and completely surrounded with the metal, so that it is like form-fitting, so that you have this amazing armor that is around you. When you have done this, you thank the energies that work with you, and you are ready to get through the day. I have used this every single day that I do work, and it has saved me from taking on anybody else's energy. When you do this, if you don't have a lot of time in the middle of the day and you're feeling really put upon, when you are first doing this, when you practice doing this in the morning or whenever you do it, then you do what is called a trigger position, as in you put your fingers in the position of the forefinger and the thumb forming a circle, or your first two fingers crossed. When you do this meditation, you have your hand in that position throughout the entire meditation. And if you need to have this protection snap into place in the middle of the day or at night when you need it and you don't have time to sit there and do the whole thing, you put your fingers in that position again. And if you have been doing this regularly, that energy will snap into place and protect you. And sometimes you really need that in an emergency.
What a wonderful meditation. Wow. Thank you so much.
Nothing's breaking through that.
No.
No, really, nothing does break through that.
Yeah. So we have another caller. Want to take another call? Let's see if we can get him online here. Caller, can you hear us?
Here we go. And okay, let's see. From the 716 area code, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi, it looks like it's from New York. Are you out? Are you available there?
Hmm?
Oh, we must have lost her.
Okay, let's see.
The Bay Area in California?
Hello.
Hello.
We're not having much luck on
Hello?
There you are.
Hi there.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was still listening. Thank you very much for that meditation and everything. It's all coming together in this vibrational energy, and it's helping me to see where, you know, some of the things that I might experience with other people as far as fears and doubts and criticisms and things. It's them projecting whatever is going on in and around them. And it's really up to me to try to barricade myself from really falling into that and adopting it as my own. Because
yeah.
that's the one thing that I have learned over the years, specifically the past 4 or 5 years, I have really been susceptible to that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and it's not good when you are actively hoping to create something in your own life and everyone else around you is stuck in another place and they're scared, they're worried, they have regrets. And after a while, you just start to absorb it like a sponge.
You start believing it.
Yes, you do.
I start believing it's mine.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's what I'm learning how to shake off.
How have you protected yourself? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. How have you protected yourself before?
Beforehand, I used to take hot baths and drink tea. That seemed to work.
Yeah.
And then once it started to heat up, I moved from Los Angeles to Northern California, and I met with such, like, not everybody. It was the exception, not the rule, but a lot of people I met were just, ooh, just not nice. One thing
yeah.
I've done to combat is take myself out of those places where I have met these people and really start to focus more on myself and, again, taking long baths and with crystals and gemstones and incorporating more meditation and, you know, my favorite music and things like that and just reading more spiritual-themed books, anything that will trick my mind into going from that place to a higher consciousness.
Yeah. It's also just a little suggestion because it does feel to me that you are really, really open, and that's wonderful, but not if you don't know how to protect it.
Exactly.
When you go to sleep, it's really good if you have about a quarter cup of salt in a bowl either under your bed or next to your bed, because salt will absorb negativity. And next
oh,
time
yeah.
you take a bath, then take a salt bath because salt cleans the aura. And without knowing it, women specifically will pick up energy from other people through their solar plexus chakra and then shove it down into the creative chakra, which is why a lot of women get that little bulgy parts around the middle. Because
interesting.
That's protection. But we don't usually do that because, you know, people like you who are very aware and are on that spiritual path, it's very difficult on a very subconscious level to know that somebody else is suffering and to not want to do something for them. So it's kind of like you get to be your own worst enemy without even intending it.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Okay,
like
I will
really
try
on,
that.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really on a great path there. And
yes.
And that you've shared this, I'm sure a lot of our listeners can totally relate to this and will grow even from what you've said. And
oh,
that's
good.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being in the show here. And
thank you for sharing. Yes, thank you very much.
Absolutely,
thank you.
Absolutely. And you're welcome to stay in on the queue there. And
yes, thanks.
We're gonna, thank you so much. Okay, great. Lori, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to just take one more call before
okay.
we take off. It's area code 678. You're on the air.
Hi, are you doing readings tonight?
No, actually, we're doing more of a general about the energy shifting that's going on. I'm sorry, I am not able to do the personal stuff right now, but if you go to the Gmail account, the LoriTheOracle, at gmail.com, I don't even know what it is, I'll see what I can do.
Do you have a more general question you can ask Lori?
I just wanted to see what she could tell me about my current relationship. Do you think she could pick up?
The big question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lori, I guess what you maybe can do so that you're fair to everybody else who's lined up in the call line is kind of explain why we are going through these relationships and what it has to do with our spiritual growth as opposed to our present need.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That it's very difficult to, in that feeling of I want, I need, and I can recognize that this person is the one that I want, if you're not getting what you want, in many cases, and in all cases, it literally is looking into self and seeing why there would be somebody that you call to you that is not giving you satisfaction, because it's always about where we're coming in from self.
Yeah. So that's another thing that we can talk about is when people feel like they're devastated from pressures of finance,
yeah,
pressures from relationships, pressures from here and pressures from there, which I'm sure people come to you and there's those basic general questions, money,
yeah,
romance, and so forth. And again, do you share with them what they need to take into consideration about why we bond the way we do and get emotionally involved with people, that there's a bigger picture of learning from these people as opposed to the fulfillment of what we may be lacking?
Yeah, well, we always look at, I mean, the biggest struggle that we're all having right now is the ego. I want, I should have, it's mine, and being able to stand in that is very, very, very difficult, and it's very seemingly cruel right now that no matter what people want, they're not able to get, because the lessons are accelerated. So it's literally like you're in kindergarten, you came into kindergarten in this lifetime, and you're expected to do college-age work.
Yeah.
You know, it's really intense.
So, caller, are you having trouble in your relationship, or is it going well?
No, it's not going well at all.
So, in general, Lori, what would you tell this person that's going through a hard time in a relationship?
First thing, and very difficult thing, is to not see what is wrong with the other person. I'm not saying something is wrong with you, but to not see what is wrong with the other person. But if they are exactly right for themselves, even if it's selfishness, that is their journey at this time, and to not judge it, to not judge them for who they are, and to not judge yourself for where you are not getting satisfaction. Because you can look at he wants you to do something and you don't. You know, he doesn't want to be involved, he doesn't want to have a serious relationship, and you do, you can't get him to change his mind. But he's got a right to that, and you have a right to deserve it. But if you only deserve it from him, and that's being stuck in not being able to see the bigger picture, it's very difficult because it makes it seem like you're doing something wrong, and I don't think that's the case. It's just all a lesson of being able to look at self and see where your worth is, as opposed to how much you're changing because there's somebody else giving you or not giving you what you want. Want is kind of a harsh word, too. Whenever I teach being able to create something, you take out the words want, need, wish, and you deal with what is. You deal with present tense. It's all about what is. If you want to cause something to you, you don't say, I want this or I wish this. You say, you have it. Because then you create the space for it to exist without, if you say, I want, I wish, I need, you're indicating that you have lack and all you're going to get back is lack. So in this case, it is, I would say, you know, without going into details, it is about a generousness within self that isn't involved with ego, to be kind to yourself and give him benefit of the doubt that it may not be the way you want to be treated, but he has a right to that too, because sometimes we get so much into what we want that we miss that the other person. I mean, yeah, he might say that he wants to be with you and then isn't, but you can't hold on to that and expect that that's really going to get you anywhere.
And that's really an interesting thing you said, Lori, about self-worth.
Yeah.
Because it sure is hard to have self-worth when you're with somebody who is not
appreciating it,
is giving you a challenge to get, yeah, to that point of self-worth. It may be an indication that that may not be where you need to be if it's you're not going to grow from it. Of course, you know, you can't, like you said, it's not, we're given challenges to grow.
Yeah.
But at what point do we figure out that there's,
it's not going to grow.
Not going to go growing anymore from this person. And
well,
as
long as you're getting in your own way, meaning, and I say that with kindness because we are all in our own way. I experience that every day where I get in my own way and I have to consciously get out of it.
Yeah.
But getting out of your own way to be able to say that this person is who they are and I accept that, but I'm the one who has to look at it differently. Can't do things for anybody else. You can only do it for the person that is within you.
Oh, well, thank you, caller, for calling in. We've got another question from the chat room.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I hope you keep listening. Let me get over to the question here. Any warnings or advice on what residents in the Western U.S. coastal states, specifically those involved in the Pacific Ring of Fire, may have to deal with leading up to 2012, earthquakes and or major volcanic activity, maybe even in L.A. or San Francisco? And a nice smiley face. Thank you for asking the question.
Well, I will tell you that I am not the greatest predictor of earthquakes. When we had the 94 quake here, I had so many people that were saying, oh, I knew it was coming. I got up in the morning and took all the pictures off the wall. And meanwhile, when it hit me, I'm in bed with my significant other who's screaming and putting his blankets over his head because he was so scared, and I did not see it coming. So what I feel is not anything that I am really good at with this, but my feeling here is that the most danger that we're going to get, based on all the predictions that I have read about and what I feel, is that we have not yet gotten the answer to the tsunami all those years ago in the Philippines. When that happens, when we have, just in logical science, a plate shift that big, there is always an answer on the opposite ring of fire. My feel is, when that happened, that it was going to hit the Pacific Northwest. It was going to hit somewhere between Vancouver and Seattle. And I didn't necessarily see tsunami. I saw a quake that was going to be in that fault system right there. But I do not know when. It might be part of 2012. I think one of the big danger things we're also going to have is in the Mississippi Delta, a quake there. They're not talking about that being so much because it's on the center of a plate, but I do think that that will be a reaction. We always, always, always have a reaction from one side of the ring of fire to the other. When you're dealing with something like that, obviously the preparedness is everything that people have told you normally about being prepared for an earthquake situation and for a tsunami. I mean, that information is all out there. Be aware of having, all the things that you need, water and the lifeline for people. And I highly recommend everybody having a landline that is not connected to a fancy electronic phone. Get a $19 phone from Radio Shack that is nothing but a phone that plugs into the wall.
Mm.
Because anything electronic in any kind of disaster is going to go completely out. Even your cell phones will not be able to be recharged. But if you have a landline, in 94, when everything else was out, I was still able to call my parents in Michigan and tell them I was okay because I had a landline.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Even though solar flares, they affect the cell phones, I think. So.
Everything, yeah. So that's just common stuff here. I would also highly recommend learning the first aid, and at least in Los Angeles, they have what they call the CERT training, which is, I believe, it's Civilian Emergency Response Team. And the fire department will teach you, Red Cross teaches you for free, how to deal with emergency situations, not just with first aid, but how to deal with crowds, how to deal with making sure that all your people are safe in your neighborhood. Being prepared in that way, this is all the basic common sense stuff.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, let's see. Well, all right, I think we're going to go to another quick break for a couple minutes. And when we come back, Lori has some more interesting things for us. And again, our call line is 818-337-0013. See you in a minute.
Hi, we're all coming back now. This is Tim. We are listening to Alternative Talk Radio with our host Susie and our guest Laurie Johnson, who's internationally known for her work as an extremely gifted and spiritual counselor. Tonight we're talking about 2012 and what everybody's been talking about and what they've been expecting and how to protect ourselves as we move through this incredible amount of change that we're looking at. And now that we're back, I'd like to ask Laurie just what it is we can do to prepare for this change that's coming up and how we can move through it over the next 8 or 10 months and what we can expect on the other side. So, Laurie?
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Okay. What I think is the easiest way of dealing with this, which none of it is easy, is adaptability. We have kind of lost a feel, we as human beings have kind of lost the feel of being able to adapt or having to adapt to things because we've been so used, especially since the technological age, the mechanized age 200 years ago started, we've gotten very spoiled. But the basic thing comes down to that we have lost an ability to adapt. And if the world is different than we wanted it to be, as in, just case in point, the 405 being closed down for 2 whole days over a weekend. Excuse me, but oh my God, that was not the end of the world. And yet I got so many people that were upset by that. Adapt to that. That is the least of the changes that is going on here, and that is nothing. We have so many challenges that are coming in. If you look at the challenge, not as negative, but growth, certainly changes the idea here. I'd like to read a quote from Carlos Barrios, who is a Mayan elder in present time, and this is one of the things that he says, because he says that one of the big things that's going on with 2012 is that people have an attachment to fear, and with that attachment to fear, they can't feel, they can't navigate through this energy. He says, "We have been in a time when the right arm of the materialistic world is disappearing, slowly but completely. We are at the cusp of the era when peace begins and people live in harmony with Mother Earth. We are no longer in the world of the fourth sun, but we are not yet in the world of the fifth sun. This is the in-between, the time of transition." And any time you guys, anybody, has had a transition, you know that it is uncomfortable. You're going from one job to another. That space between changing, I'm very sorry, the ending of the first job, that you've got 2 weeks where you put your notice in and your mind is already in the next job. That means you've got 2 weeks of being really uncomfortable. Then you've got the time in between, wondering if you did the right thing, very glad you did the right thing, moving into the next job. That is new. It is uncomfortable until you get used to it again. We are in that state of being uncomfortable, letting go of one thing, making that transition to start something else. All endings and beginnings are never easy, especially when they are forced on us. But if we look at them as forced, we've already lost it. We're all choosing to be here. That's really important. Find your own way of being able to understand why you chose to be here, even if things are really terrible. It's giving you a wonderful opportunity to be able to face things. And I understand, because I have a lot of clients who don't have a job, they're losing their home, their boyfriend left them, all these things that are negative, and they are, it just seems like, how can you possibly think that you agreed to this? You agreed to learn, not necessarily the individual problems, but you agreed to learn. The more you are in balance with yourself, the more that you work on being able to see things from a positive point of view, the easier it gets. And I know this is true. It is difficult. It is very, very difficult. But it is true that the more you embrace what is going on, which sounds like it's exactly the opposite of what you should do, the more that you will be in control of just yourself. The thing that we are learning right now is that we as human beings are in control of nothing but who we are and how we present that to the world. That is it. Mm-hmm. If you are aware of just that, you work on just that, everything else will fall into place. Again, you get into balance, and serendipity comes along and puts things in your path. If you think of it as you believe that it should happen a certain way. Again, that word should. But it's like, okay, I'm going to let it go to the world, but I want to make sure I have this much money. Okay, you already put a limitation on what is possible for you. When somebody might want to be wanting to bring into you more money, you've already put a limitation on it. Trust that. Everybody has guides, angels, and ancestors. I don't care if you believe in them or not. They are there. If you want help, ask for help. If you don't get the help that you want, listen to what is being given to you. Listening is just as important as talking. Okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Where?
Oh, yeah. No, that is just really empowering.
All right. I just wanted to add in before we move ahead here, there's
okay.
a call-in number available for all of you out there at 818-337-0013.
Okay. Yeah, Laura, you were saying about all this, it really is very, very, very empowering that you don't rely on somebody else to
yeah.
give you your happiness, to give you your balance.
Yeah.
To help
well,
you through your fears.
Yeah, this is also, when we talk about the past 2,000 years, and I will talk very specifically about women and men at this point. In the past 2,000 years, because it has been a male-dominated society, it has been mankind, male in entitlement, basically means that men get to do what they want. Okay, that's part of the lesson. It isn't like indulgence. That is part of the lesson. If everybody is given, the men are given exactly opportunities to do whatever they want, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to blow it? Are they going to do something really good with it? But that means that while men have been in that forward movement, and I'm going to take over the world and I can do whatever I want, women have been in the position of helping the men. Men basically going out and trying to change things. Women dealing with the changes that were made, whether they are good or bad, and learning how to multitask. Women are going to have a much easier job at dealing with these changes than men. Because men, you're talking 2,000 years of a concept that I am in charge and I deserve it and I'm entitled, now don't have that anymore. Even now, not even next year, even now, they don't have that anymore. That means that men trying to shift out of being in control, being in charge, whether they wanted to do it or not, being in that space is very, very difficult. So I would say one of the things for women, even though this is a generalization, it is, again, benefit of the doubt. And I'm not saying benefit of the doubt so that it costs you your energy or you bend over backwards for somebody who is behaving like a boar, but it is you benefit of the doubt that everybody is having a hard time, including yourself. That's okay, but know that there is a higher reason for this. When we talk about how these changes are going to work, surviving natural disasters, people get strength from it. I'm sorry to say some people get beaten by it. Everything is a personal journey. I talk about, and when I talk about past lives and reincarnation, which I will do in more detail in another session here, one of the things is that you can take twins. If you take twins and one of them goes to school, one of them goes to kindergarten and goes to school all the way, graduates college, and the other one stays home, they are both equal. But one knows a hell of a lot more, okay? This is what we're facing. People on different levels were all equal, but some people just not wanting to learn the lessons. Do what you can. Help them if you can. But even within Sanskrit chanting, there's a thing here. I chant for somebody for their good without taking on their karma. Vitally important. Not your job to take on somebody else's karma, to be compassionate, to help as much as you can, to direct their energy, send them light, send them energy to help them. Don't take it on for yourself here.
So in your classes, you've mentioned that this 2012 transition is about a new beginning.
Yes.
New beginning of what?
New beginning of consciousness. New beginning of us being, I would say, more balanced. It sounds like I'm an earth hugger, which I am, but, you know, we're getting back to the earth, getting back into balance with who we are, because it's no longer about what we can create in the physical world. It's about what we can create in the spiritual world. And anybody who has had any kind of epiphany knows how good it feels like you're walking on top of the earth. You're surfing air instead of walking solidly on the ground. This is what we're all headed to. Okay, not everybody's going to get it between now and December 21st, 2012, but it is that understanding of balance with all. Okay, when we talk about nirvana or heaven or going to the other side, being one with God, one with Creator, this is something that we can get a lot closer to because that's what this energy is teaching us. So we get through the next year and a half, the next going into 2012 and beyond. What this does is give you an opportunity to make these huge spiritual leaps, and it will no longer come from, if I have money, then I am successful, but if I have a spiritual awareness of myself, then I am successful. And that leads to whole other dimensional work. It leads to us being in a much, a much more abundant space. Not about money. Abundance is, if you don't have friends and you have one friend, then there's an abundance. If you don't have a place to live and you have all of a sudden a place to live, there is abundance. Not necessarily about money, but about what you're bringing to yourself. This is supposed to be the evolution of humankind from being where we have been for 25,630 years into where we are going for the next span. And that is going to be based on not physical reality, but spiritual reality.
So you mentioned earlier in the program about the 80% that aren't getting it and the 20% that are. Do you see that changing, that percentage, the 20% is going to turn into 30% or is the 80% just always going to be the 80% and we learn how to deal with it?
They won't always be the 80%, but chances are they'll always be the 80% in this lifetime. I'm sorry to say that, but what I have seen repeatedly in readings, and this is where I get a lot of my information, that as I am reading, I get messages, and it gives me a lot of the knowledge of what I've got here, or at least a lot of the opinions, that people at this point, as of January of this year, if they have chosen a path, that is their path, meaning that, yes, granted the 20%, we're all still learning. Everybody's learning and moving forward and becoming more aware, but the 80% pretty much have decided that they are right, and if they haven't gotten out of their own energy by now, my feeling here is as if there's a race and the 20% are already a full lap ahead of time, and even if the 80% start to get it, they're still going to be so far behind. It requires you to be completely aware of who you are right now, not 6 months from now, because these people, everybody's in that 80% has had 23 years to get it straight. If they haven't gotten it straight with all those opportunities, they're not going to do it now. I'm sorry. It's what I believe. I hope I am wrong.
Yeah, it's almost like it's embedded in them to have this way of thinking, and it's really hard for them to do a switch over and change.
It is. Again, 2,000 years of a mindset. You don't change in one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. But again, we all chose to be here. So people who are here, even though they might not want to see it as part of their lessons right now, they chose to be here. They chose how difficult it was going to be, because sometimes those negative lessons, well, all the time, the negative lessons are the one that really shoot you through the stratosphere when you get them.
Yeah.
So I love your analogy of the lap ahead.
Yeah.
Because we could be running right alongside that 80%, and it looks like they're right there, but we're actually could be a whole lap ahead of them, or two or three, and they're right next to us still.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. If people do not get it in this lifetime, like that 80%, it doesn't mean they don't get it. It means in this lifetime they don't. And I will say something that I believe, and people will probably argue with me on this one, that 80% choosing not to get it, when they leave this planet, they're not coming back to this planet, not anytime soon. There are a lot of other planets out there that support life, and there are a lot of other planets that have energies that can teach the same lessons. Not all planets are at this birth phase that the Earth is on right now. So the Earth going to this higher vibration, if people stay in that lower vibration of ego and fear when they leave this planet, they're not going to get it together on the other side enough to be able to come back here and participate in this new as-if utopia. They won't. They have to go somewhere else and learn the lessons that they refuse to learn here, and I'm sorry to say they're going to be harder, because this is golden opportunity time. Where we are, when we are, right now, is giving us a golden opportunity to face amazingly difficult challenges, but you get over those, it is wonderful.
In other words, if we're brought to that awareness to start working on it, it'll be a lot easier to get to that goal of growth as opposed to this other area people go to.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to reincarnate. We need to learn in a physical way. Okay, if we can't learn here because the vibration of the planet will not support the low vibration of ego, of this kind of ego and fear, then they'll go to a place where ego and fear is okay and that planet is okay in grounding that energy, but the lessons will continue until they get to a higher awareness.
That's excellent. So we have time for one more caller. For the 956 area code, who do we have on the line?
Hi, my name is Tommy.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was just calling in regards to wanting to know my future relationship.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Okay, is this better?
Much.
Okay, sorry about that. What's coming up in, for the next month or something?
We have so much stuff that's going on here. I would say a couple of things for you. This isn't just for you personally, but this is general, and this is really, I'm sorry to say this, August sucks. Feng Shui says August is the worst month of the year. They're not kidding. This year, we've already started. It's like summer. We've got several things that are going on that are not going to get done until we reach September. So this means certain things as if hypersensitivity and overreactions to things. So you're talking about anything within your relationship. You will be hypersensitive to anything that he says or does. He will be hypersensitive. His reactions will be different than yours. You will have an overreaction to things. So it's really important to try to be calm. Not really going to work out too well because this energy just does not stop. So it's going to feel as if everything is on fire and he's saying everything wrong and you're not getting what you want. But literally it is about trying to be as calm as possible and not overreact. And I know that's really difficult because I can be overreacting to something and then I stop in the middle of it and go, oh, okay, I know, this is the energy, it's not me. You can feel this when you get really, really, really angry, really, really, really afraid, really something, I mean really extreme about something, and it's a bigger reaction than you normally would feel. Very difficult in the middle of that to say, oh, yes, it's the energy on the planet and that's the way it's going. But it's important to treat it like that because you guys are going to be pushing each other's buttons like crazy over the next 2 months. The calmer you can be, or at least time out, even if it doesn't make any sense, give yourself a time out here because sometimes during these next 2 months, people can say really mean things, not mean them, but damage can be there.
So prepare ourselves because there is going to be a lot more heightened sensitivity, huh?
Heightened sensitivity, and if anything can be taken wrong in August, it will so be taken wrong.
Oh, well, thank you, caller. That's an excellent question.
Thanks for sharing.
We have one more caller here that we can take advantage of, and it looks like they're from the L.A. area. Hi, caller.
5 more minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we just lost. Oh, no, you're there. Hi.
Let's see.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, hi.
Let's see. Is this the 818 area?
Yeah.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
818?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Hi, Laura.
Can you speak up? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We're having a little difficulty with some of our callers there. If you could speak
louder. Yeah, I'll talk a lot louder.
There we go.
Unfortunately, I missed most of your show. I just turned it in here, so I'm going to go back and listen to the archive because it sounded like it was really interesting. I wanted to ask you, did you mention anything in your show about the planet Nibiru at all?
No, I didn't go into that.
No. Do you know,
that's not one of my specialties. A lot of the stuff that I deal with is the energy that I feel that comes to me in answers when I do readings and when I have gotten messages about the energy of the 2012 stuff. I know what you're talking about.
You know why I was bringing this up? It's only because I see so many people so fear-based about planets and things moving, and every time they mention it, it's sort of based on fear and not maybe that it's a transformation energy that's coming as well. And, you know, of course, when one person says it, you know, then 12 people become an expert on the same thing saying it. So just always sort of go back to them, and I find them on Facebook, and, you know, of course they get unpopular because I'll sort of say, well, why would you even think that it had to be a fear-based planet? I mean, nobody's looking at it that it could be, and then, you know, you hear that their positive energies have taken it off course, and I'm going, well, wait a minute, you can't even pay your mortgage. How did you work that one out? You know, like,
well,
it's five times the size of Earth, and they're moving planets.
One of the things I did talk about, though, is that the last 2,000 years has been completely based on the lessons that we have learned have been as if dictated by fear, and that's what we're getting out of. And so many things that were written during these last 2,000 years of the Piscean Age will do that, which is where we get into the fear factor that we're coming to the end of the world, as opposed to, like you're saying, a new beginning or a challenge to be able to see things from a different perspective. So it's a mindset we're getting rid of. We're not done with it yet by any means, obviously. But it is, that's probably the biggest transformation, is that fear no longer is part of it, and yet so many people are afraid to let go of fear.
Right, right. And I'm an author, so I write, in fact, I've just written a screenplay that's very uplifting and spiritually, and yeah, I feel very positive. It's just getting it into the right hands right now.
Yeah,
so,
and
but
we
it's
need
all
that.
About the transformation. And
That's exactly it. And you look at it that way, you can never make a mistake with that.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot of growth in it. So, and it's wonderful because I do things through the eyes of children.
Yes.
So, you know, it's very inspiring because they say very blunt things, and so the dialogue becomes really interesting. So, that's cool. But thank you for your time.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you
for sharing.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I will. I'll go back and re-listen to the end of it because I said you sound. I like listening to people that actually can talk from a place of from their heart and not from the fear base, because it just doesn't enhance you. And I say, you know, that often to people, you've got to stay centered in this, and so that's really where the message is, isn't it?
Yes.
But anyway, bid you good night all, and we'll catch up another time.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you much. Bye bye. And Lori, it's really something. It's just we have to, through all these changes and challenges that we're going through, to learn, like she said and like you said, to learn to be centered and balanced with the storms that swirl around us, and just keep trying to find our center and peace, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's a big challenge, but this is probably the most exciting time human beings have been alive in almost 26,000 years.
Just take a deep breath
take
and center.
Take a deep breath. You know that it's cool to be here.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, that's really interesting. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in and sharing. And Lori, it's just been wonderful having you on the show. There are so many aspects. We're going to have to get you back because we see people really wanting to have those readings and talking about all the different things that you the information that just pours out of you from spirits and everybody else. And we are going to just say again that if you have any further questions with Lori, you can reach her at the email Lori, Laurie, the Oracle, Oracle, @gmail.com. And be sure to tune back in next time where we're going to be sharing with you more special guests, including Dr. Mao from the Dr. Oz Show. He's an acupuncturist and longevity expert. And we've got Richard Gordon coming up, founder of Quantum Touch. It's a well-recognized healing modality throughout the world. It's just incredible. And he'll be talking to us about healing and how we can be active participants in healing ourselves and the process of healing others. And we want to wish you blessings. And center and meditate.
Center and meditate and breathe.
Yes.
Thanks for joining
us. Get rid of the judgment.
And if you didn't catch the meditation, go back and listen to it, and it'll be able to protect you through all these changes.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lori, for your time.
Thank you,
Lori, so much. And again, our website, www.alternativetalkradio.tv. Take care, everyone.